You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
One day I understand. One day go see the baby be born and come back. You're a Major League Baseball player.
Did I not tell you?
Yes, you did.
See, don't answer. These are rhetorical questions because you know I told you and you know I'm not.
Analytics don't work at all. They're just a crap to some people who were really smart made up to try to get in the game because they had no talent.
This kid is a gamer. He's a follower. He's a playmaker and a shot caller.
In case you didn't know,
I got T-Bowed. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is win.
Hello and welcome to Hot Takedown, a special Flash Pod edition of Hot Takedown. I'm Chad Matlin. Across the table from me is Neil Payne.
How's it going?
Together we work at 538. On the other line from an airport in Oregon is Kate Fagan. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Chad. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Kate.
So we have assembled...
How's it going?
It's going well. We have assembled the Hot Takedown Brain Trust to discuss the fourth consecutive championship of the UConn women's basketball team last night. We're recording this on Wednesday morning. Last night, they beat Syracuse, who was a four seed, 82-51. Yet another dominant performance. Not quite as dominant as some of the performances have been thus far in the tournament. That is UConn's fourth straight national championship. Breonna Stewart's fourth straight most outstanding player award. Kate, we've talked about UConn women however many times on Hot Takedown. Did you see anything last night that felt different, or is this just more of the same and just more ridiculous dominance?
I mean, I guess the only thing that felt different was that in the previous 3 years, as we're watching Breonna Stewart and that class, we're like, okay, well, we're going to get more of the same next year. I mean, I remember sitting there courtside watching Breonna Stewart freshman year, in the Final Four and being like, oh my goodness, like, she's unstoppable, and UConn's going to be unstoppable in a new way. The only new thing, because we can go at length about their on-the-court play, which we all already know, and the way they practice and all that, but really the only new thing is like, okay, well, now that Breonna Stewart, an all-time UConn great, is moving on to the WNBA, are we going to see some level of this Goliath be slayed next year and have a little bit more parity, or is UConn always going to keep replenishing the way they have for the last 15 years?
Right. So Stewart, Jefferson, and Tuck are all going to the WNBA. And as a result, there is this question about whether this was the end of the dynasty. Neil, before we get to that, can we just still contextualize just how impressive this team was with any type of ratings or anything like that?
Yeah, so I went back and I collected the Ken Massey ratings, which is another one of those power ratings that judges how many points per game you are better than the average Division I team. And he actually has the archive for women's basketball going back to 1998. So I pulled all those ratings and kind of normalized them so that the average team was a zero points above average. And this year's UConn team finished 55 points better than average per game.
And what's a point here?
Oh, this is just points per game.
Oh,
like
okay.
Margin. They would over the average.
Wow.
Sort of like, yeah, Division I school. And if you compare that, you know, the 40-0 team in 2014 actually was a tick higher, 56 on their power rating. But I think it's also worth saying that this year's team, if you take that, doesn't take into account the previous year and sort of things building on each other. So I think if you do take into account the fact that they had, you know, all the same stars from the previous, you know, run of years, especially Breonna Stewart, then you're going to see this rating, you know, be probably the best in modern women's college basketball history. And just speaking to UConn, thinking of, oh, well, does that mean that the dynasty is over? The run is over. I mean, if you look at the top six teams by this rating, and this goes back to 1998, they're all UConn teams. Each and every one of them is a UConn team. Baylor is the only interloper. They come in at number seven, the 2012 Baylor team. Then you get two more UConn teams. You get a Notre Dame and a Baylor here and there, and then some more UConn teams. So, I mean, really over that period of time, especially concentrated in the teens, the 2010s,
yeah.
These are probably the best sustained years of a college women's college basketball team ever. And so, go ahead, Kate.
No, I was going to say, like, the only other number that's important here in its separate category is, like, the recruiting class for 2016, which is for UConn, like 14th in the country, which you think is low for them. But historically, I mean, they obviously have they have great recruiting classes, but they also do a great job of just picking the certain players they want who may not necessarily comprise like the number one or number two class, but they're people that Gino has handpicked and think fits the system. And like you, and Neil, you mentioned like the interlopers and all of that historic dominance for UConn. And like in a lot of ways, it's like you mentioned Baylor and Notre Dame and what those two programs had in common was like Baylor having Brittany Griner and a standout star that was kind of once in a generation, and then Skylar Diggins on the Notre Dame level. And although UConn's recruiting classes coming up aren't necessarily blowing people out of the water, there's also no player coming up through where people are already saying, like, oh, this is a game changer. And if no program's going to get a game changer in the way of Brittany Griner, then it's going to come down to having fielding talent and practicing well, and UConn has proven that that's what they do.
And what about the backlog from, you know, it's not just about 1 year, especially in women's basketball, you know, where you don't have one and dones. It's not even just about, like, this year's recruiting class, but what about the past 3 years worth of recruiting classes and the backlog that UConn has? You know, the cupboard is not bare.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about what Kate was saying was that there's an inertia essentially to sports when you don't have game-changing talent that might shake things up. But Kate, one question I have for you is, while there is this backlog, is next year's women's basketball landscape going to be more open than it has been in the past few years? Is there going to be, you know, is there a chance because of this uncertainty for teams to begin to make a move?
Yeah, I think finally we're going to see next year where UConn is going to have to come into the season and they all know they're UConn, but there isn't this like blow you away. Look, we've got this one player and this group of seniors who have dominated the field. And you're still going to have the same level of practice and talent and work ethic that UConn always has. It's going to make them, of course, one of the top three programs. But then you look around, it's like Maryland just had the number one recruiting class and they have like six stars coming in a recruiting class, which you could be like, are they going to be like, you know, the Fab Five in Michigan and be able to play well together and change the shape of women's college basketball? And then you've also got the programs that have stepped up this year, like South Carolina. They have some seniors, but they still have a lot of young talent. And so you at least you're coming into next year's women's basketball season and you're thinking, look, we've got about 6 to 8 teams and the field is a little bit more open than we saw this year.
Yeah, one last note about UConn's tournament run. 538's March Madness predictions this year has live updating win probability as part of it, and Neil has been doing a video series with our colleague Ruben Fischerbaum talking about the excitement index, which is sort of a measure of how much excitement there would be on the screen if you just turned on the game.
Yeah, pretty much how much the squiggly win probability line moves. So with each basket, you know, it's the average movement of the win probability line per basket. And in some of these UConn games.
So I was going to say, yeah. Where I think the most dominant stat, the stat that told me about dominance the most was that there was only one UConn game that reached as high as 0.2 on an excitement index of 0 to 10. So this was just a total obliteration of the field in a way that, as we talked about, maybe wasn't the most exciting back and forth to watch, but was certainly exciting to watch sort of women's basketball at its highest form being played.
Yeah, you certainly have to love sort of just UConn and watching an epic performance in the same way you'd watch a symphony, you know, it's very different viewing taste than turning on a competition and wanting to see an unpredictable outcome.
Yeah, it's almost like they can only be measured actually against themselves. I mean, that might sound a little bit trite or whatever, but, you know, just watching the games and appreciating their performance against the benchmark that they've set for themselves throughout the season or previous versions of themselves is really the only way that you can even get something that is competitive, and it's more of an abstraction than anything else.
All right. I think that'll do it for our several years of UConn women's, or Breonna Stewart era UConn women's coverage. Kate, thanks for calling in from, I believe you've moved from the airport to the plane in the course of this podcast.
Yes, I'm multitasking and talking about UConn as well.
Exactly. All right, we'll see you in New York next week. Thanks as always.
All right, thanks guys.
Bye, Kate.
Neil, thanks to you.
Thanks, Chad.
You know, I think that the shorter form really upped your game today.
Yeah, you know, I mean, trying to pull together some stats, the morning after on the fly, hoping that, you know, some sources did not update with last night's game, and that's disappointing.
As
but
always.
Massey did update, and so that's why I was able to use his stats. So an endorsement of Massey
and our
end of the UConn women's
and
basketball
Hot Take
program.
Down's forever plea for people to get their women's
yes.
sports data in order. Our podcast producer is Joe Sykes. We got production assistance from Jonathan Niels and Tony Chow. You can email us at podcast@538.com. We'd love to hear what you think. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, all sorts of other apps. You can find us at itunes.com/538. Be sure to review and rate the show while you're there. It helps others discover the program. Our theme song is by Mystery Mansion. I'm Chadwick Matlin. Talk to you in the normal, non-flash pod version of Hot Takedown next Tuesday.